Our First Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. You can find it on page 663 in the Old Testament of your Pew Bible if you wish to follow along. In this passage, the prophet tells God's people, both then and now, people living in very anxious times, of God's plans for them. Let us together listen for the word of the Lord. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sands shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds. The highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but only the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Alleluia. Joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord.
We continue this week looking at the Lord's Prayer. And so we will read it, and this week we focus on Thy Kingdom Come. Pray then this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. The word of the Lord. As I said, the focus today from the Lord's Prayer is Thy Kingdom Come. Throughout Matthew's Gospel, kingdom is a very important piece. His job was to write to the Jewish community and show them that Jesus was the promised Messiah. To do this, Matthew links the prophecies from the Old Testament to the life and teachings of Jesus. He uses very specific words from the prophecies about the Messiah. He references things like the Passover lamb, the servant of the Lord. Even Jesus being betrayed by a close friend is deliberately picked to show how Jesus is linked to the Messiah. Matthew pulls these images from Jewish tradition, holds them up to his Jewish audience like a transparent paper through which they have to see that Jesus is Messiah. These prophecies were well known throughout the community. They told the Jews how to recognize the Messiah, what to look for, what this person would do and say. Over the years, the prophecies had developed a life of their own. So Matthew's task was not as straightforward as one might think. Over the years and interpretation, the religious community had decided that this Messiah would be a conquering king, someone who would inspire troops with talks of God's glory and taking down everyone who is evil. People were waiting for a mighty leader who would crush all other power, and they would sit on a golden throne with a shining sword above their head. Sounds just like Jesus, right? Matthew does his best to show that these ideas were wrong and that Jesus was the Messiah. He starts the book off with a genealogy that shows that Jesus is from the line of kings, of David, from the line of our forefathers, of Abraham. Jesus' rightful place, his birthright, is on a throne, even though he picks a donkey to ride on. The kingdom is also very important in Jesus' teachings as well. Jesus talks about God's kingdom often. In Mark's gospel, it opens with Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God. In Luke, Jesus admits that this is an obligation, that he must preach about the kingdom of God because that is the very reason he was sent. If the kingdom is the reason that Jesus was sent, then we need to figure out what this kingdom thing is. If the kingdom did not need Jesus to be a conquering warrior king, what does a kingdom look like with Jesus at the lead? One would think that this message being so important to Jesus about the kingdom, that he would talk about it in a very clear way, but he does not. He talks about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets all being in the kingdom. So the kingdom is something that has happened in the past. He also teaches that the kingdom is within you and among you. So it's something in the present happening now. And then he teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." This prayer, "Thy kingdom come," sounds like it's a hope of something yet to still happen. Something that will happen in a short time that we can then revel in the joy and surplus of the kingdom of God. That's how the people around Jesus would have heard this as well. They were waiting for the kingdom of God. It was the very reason they were looking for this conquering Messiah. They knew that they lived in a kingdom, the kingdom of Rome, but that was not what they wanted. When they looked around, they saw oppression and hate. They felt guilt. They saw inequality. They were not in the kingdom of God. They wanted the Messiah to come in, crush all the powers, and bring about a perfect society operating solely within God's will. And by no means does that will include oppression, inequality, hate, or guilt. "Thy kingdom come soon, please," was their prayer. But when we take into account that Jesus also taught that the kingdom was something that had happened, that is happening among us, we are forced to see not only a hope in this prayer, but an invitation. "Thy kingdom come." The kingdom of God is not something that we can pray into existence because the kingdom is God's work. and God's work is already done. When God makes a covenant with Abraham, he does not say, "If you follow the rules, I will bless you." He says, "I have blessed you." When Jesus dies on the cross, there is no circumstance that has to happen for forgiveness to be bestowed upon us. God's work through Jesus is done. When Jesus says that he was sent to tell about the kingdom, he's not saying he's there to prophesy about something to come. He's there to point it out. It's there. It's there. It's right here. The concern then becomes, if we do live in the kingdom of God, then why do we still see oppression, guilt, inequality, and hate around us? If the kingdom of God is here, then it does not look like we wanted it to. And again, we have a problem of expectation. The supposed warrior, Messiah, king did not show up. So maybe the kingdom we expected to come also looks different. Our expectation is that the kingdom will overcome all powers, that the only thing we see, the only voice that we hear, will be God's kingdom. In reality, the kingdom is a song that can be drowned out if we let it. I've heard people say that the real accomplishment of graduating from seminary is graduating with your faith. Students spend so much time analyzing and picking apart scripture and faith traditions that things become meaningless. Everything that you hold sacred is criticized and shown for how small it really is. So weekly crises of faith are very common. One crisis that I faced dealt with the Lord's Prayer. I had heard it so often, said it thousands of times myself, that it got to the point where it held no meaning. Have you ever said a word over and over or written it over and over until you're not even sure it's right? You're not even sure you're still in the English language. That is what happened to the Lord's Prayer for me. During this time of figuring out what to do about my problem with the Lord's Prayer, I had three encounters. One was I told my professor about my struggle, and she encouraged me and said, "It's okay. You can pray whatever prayer you'd like. In fact, there are so many Christians in the world that at any given time, somebody is praying the Lord's Prayer." I also read a comment from William Barclay, who's a famous New Testament interpreter. He said that the Lord's Prayer has two great uses. One, at the beginning of our devotions to awaken holy desires within us, and the other at the end of our devotions to sum up all that we ought to pray for. I had read these things, but I didn't connect anything until I saw an episode of Star Talk. This is a show with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is an astrophysicist, who has made his career making astrophysics accessible to people like me who are not astrophysicists. In this episode, he showed an image of the Earth and how the sun beam hits the Earth and creates a circle of light around it. At the edge of that circle, there's a switch from light to dark, meaning dusk and dawn around the Earth. So at any given time as the Earth rotates, there's always a ring of dusk and dawn. There was also a musician on this episode, and they pointed out that birds and bugs sing at dawn and dusk. So at any given time, there is also a chorus of song around the Earth. We are surrounded by light switching to dark and dark to light, but also this song just by different birds in different places. The words of my professor and Barclay came back to me, and I realized that if there are so many Christians in the world, praying the Lord's Prayer at the open of their day and the close of their day. Then there must also be a continuous chorus of the Lord's Prayer being offered. That was something I could be a part of. Something bigger, something more than just me. I wanted to pray the Lord's Prayer immediately. Before I began, I thought about the person who had just ended their devotion. And as I ended my prayer, I thought of the person somewhere else in the world picking up that same tune. The Kingdom of God is the greatest tune ever composed. But it's up to us to keep playing it. Every time, in every place where this tune is played, where the will of God is done, that is where the kingdom is. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, not the plant, the seed, the small vessel of potential that has to be replanted every season. So it's not a bad thing to pray this prayer, "Thy kingdom come," hopefully, because we do have to still wish that the kingdom comes over and over every day. But we should also remember that the kingdom is here. Thy kingdom come. Be a part of it. Amen.